Well, welcome back to another Partners podcast here at Anabaptist Perspectives. I'm joined once again by Jaron Miller. We actually did the last episode, which was basically part one on this larger topic of some of the feedback we've gotten from a lot of listeners. And Jaron was telling some background about different interactions with people who want to join an Anabaptist church. And we were walking through, you know, some of the challenges of that and so forth. So recommend you listen to that episode before this one if you haven't already. But we're going to continue that conversation, but hit a slightly different angle and go a slightly different direction than we did last time. So without further ado, Jaron, I think we'll just jump right in and pick up the conversation basically where we left it last time, where we were talking about some of these challenges with joining churches. And one question, or this is where we're going to pivot a little bit, is what are the best reasons to actually change churches in the end? Because the last episode may be encouraging. Maybe want to rephrase a little bit where we left last time and then how this question segments onto that.
I think where we left it last time, I was drawing attention to the fact that there's lots of reasons to not leave a church. And doing so comes with real problems. So last time it was all about why not to change a church, but I do think that there are good reasons to change churches. And so I think that's what we're planning to talk about here.
Yeah, that's a good way of phrasing it. Because at the last episode, people may have been a bit like, oh, okay, so we just have to stick it out, you know, with whatever church we're in or something. But there are reasons, I would assume, to change churches. And I want to jump into that. So let's start with that question. What is the best reason to change churches?
I don't know what the best reason is, but I think there are several reasons that I can share. And I want to start by quoting Pete Enns. I was reading something by him last week, and he made some helpful comments about changing churches. Here's what he says. Feeling dis-ease and challenged in faith may be God pushing us out of our own safety zone, where we rest on our own ideas about God and confuse those ideas with the real thing. God may be pushing us to experience Him more fully, with us kicking and screaming all the way if need be. Feeling unsettled may be God telling us lovingly, but still in His typical attention-getting manner, it's time to grow. If your present community sees your spiritual journey as a problem, because you are wandering off their beach blanket, it may be time to find another community. One should never do that impulsively, but if after a time you are sensing that you do not belong, that you are a problem to be corrected rather than a valued member of the community, maybe God is calling you elsewhere to find for yourself that they aren't so bad after all. The decision is very personal, sometimes involving whole families, and can take some courage to make. But it is worth the risk. One thing is certain. If you stay where you are without any change at all, the pressure to either conform or keep quiet will work in you like a slow-acting poison. And if you go too far down that road, it can be a tough haul coming back from the bitterness and resentment, especially for children. So I think that he gets it right when he observes that God may bring people away from the community that they're currently in. I think that he's right in the sense that if you do not have support that you need to grow in faithful godliness within your church, perhaps you should find a new church. A Christian without community will struggle. A church with either indifference or a degrading influence, or a church that is too big to care about individuals with no small group options, isn't discipling as a church should disciple. If your church constantly and badly competes with other priorities, maybe you should find a new church. A person is responsible to their family, so I think parents must think about the ways that their children are being discipled. A person is also responsible to Jesus. If their church is interfering with one's loyalty to Jesus, they should think about finding a new church. I also have a great deal of sympathy for young people who want to set the course of their life in a church that matches their vision of faith. Some young people have Christian parents and accompany them to an evangelical or some other Christian church. But as the young person matures, reflect on and take more ownership of their faith, they realize that they aren't a great fit in the church where they're starting out. If I were to say that just because your parents are United Methodist and you started out in a United Methodist church, then you ought to remain United Methodist forever, that would be a very bad thing to say and incongruent with, I think, Anabaptist priorities and the priorities of the New Testament, where the emphasis that is that each individual is responsible to God. And we're not responsible, first and foremost, to our parents or upbringing, or that our responsibility is overridden by where we started out. Those things just are not true. And I think this closely relates with the question of baptism also. Most Christians today have been baptized in infancy. And, you know, this is just my opinion, but I think that the Anabaptist tradition and the New Testament agree that baptism in infancy is a bad entry into the faith. One's parents and culture cannot decide on behalf of another. And in most churches, baptism is connected to membership. So just to develop that a bit further, if you were raised in an Episcopalian church or a Catholic church or an Anglican church where you were baptized as an infant and you develop a conviction that you should be baptized as an adult with a calculated mature choice, those traditions aren't going to be very helpful to you in pursuing that. So I think those are some reasons to leave. I would emphasize again that the fact that your church is not perfect is not a good reason to leave. And I think that when you leave, you should leave sadly and choose to dwell on the good of the church that you came from and remember all the good that it has contributed to you.
So I think that's a valid point you have there, where a very large portion of the church today is because they were baptized into that as an infant, or this culturally they were just part of that, you know, from the beginning. I guess that's a dynamic we're not used to thinking about as much as Anabaptists, because that would have been part of the early story of like, well, we actually don't want to be part of that system. We want it to be an individual choice that we will join these churches, or, you know, however you want to phrase that. I guess that adds an interesting dynamic, and I want to make sure I'm hearing that properly. And you're suggesting that someone in that situation should take another look at that, analyze that, and see, is this actually the proper place for them to be? Is that a way of phrasing it, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Okay, well, that's some good context there, Jaron. I really like what you're saying. I wonder if you'd be able to give us a bit of an outline or maybe some bullet points on things to do when you do join a new church. Let's say someone's looking at this and saying, yeah, this is the situation I'm in. I'm going to switch churches or switch denominations, whatever that may be. What are some things to do when you join a new church?
I think that you should enter with a love of the community that is greater than your ideals for your new church. This is something I developed further in the first part of this conversation that we published a few weeks back. But enter with a love for the community that is greater than your ideals for the church. Be more curious than prophetic. Listen, learn, and participate all you can. And expect confusion, at least for a while, within all different churches and denominations. There are cultural differences, regardless of where you go. So this may confuse you. Just have patience with it and expect that things will feel better and more comfortable as time passes. Also expect that your brothers and sisters will have input for you that make you uncomfortable. This is what discipleship and community is.
Well, I think I think that's a really good point, just to jump in here, but to expect that your brothers and sisters will have input that makes you feel uncomfortable. We don't like that, but it's generally probably good for us and so forth. Having that input, even when it maybe isn't always what we want to hear. It's definitely a good one to keep in mind, because when you're switching from one environment to another, that seems to me that's going to be inevitable. It's going to happen at least somewhat. So anyways, mm-hmm. Do you have further thoughts? You can continue on here.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment that pertains specifically to our Mennonite tradition that you and I are both in. For me, it's hard to have this conversation without thinking of what it means for somebody to join a Mennonite church. I know that that's not been the narrow focus of this conversation, but it's the experience that I have, the context that I have. I'm thinking of the episode that Samantha Bender did with us early in 2024, where she reminded us that many have joined our churches from other backgrounds. It happens a lot. But she also reminded us that cultural peculiarities abound, and that on many occasions, Mennonites have not welcomed, integrated, and made space for people from other backgrounds very well. So I've been encouraging people to be slow to change churches, but I'm emphatically not encouraging Mennonite churches or any other church to be slow to welcome others. When we invite others in, we need to ask if we are bringing them into a community where they are being welcomed by a church culture that is able to include newcomers. Are we a church that can be shaped by its members and their convictions, or will the strength of our institutions, structures, and tradition be the only meaningful characteristic that defines what the church is and becomes? If our tradition is the primary defining thing, and we are satisfied with where we are at, to the point that we think no further adjustments could be beneficial, then anything other than clearly communicating this to our idealistic seekers will bring them disillusionment and resentment. I also think that we're at a dangerous place if these are the circumstances that we find ourselves in.
Yeah. That's a very important piece to keep in mind, which I've had different friends and so forth mention that, you know, when they're coming from maybe a different perspective or from a different denomination coming into the Anabaptist church, it can feel sometimes that they're not as integrated as they feel like they could be, you know, or they feel like they're not being, their skills aren't being utilized in some ways, things like that. And I don't think it'd be easy to cast blame. That's not what this is about, but when we invite others in, you know, you are bringing them into the community. And yes, I think that's a really good point you had there. And, you know, each church is going to have to work through what that's going to look like and how they'll do that. But that also transitions well into this next question that I immediately think of when we talk about these things. And that is, what do we do with those that are unhappy in conservative Anabaptist settings, and then they want to leave as a result? Are there similar cautions for them as are for those that want to join our churches, thinking, you know, it's the perfect solution? What would you say to that?
I think that everything, not quite everything, most of what I've said, the main concerns that I've had that I've talked about in this episode and the previous one, apply just as much to people who aren't happy in their conservative Anabaptist setting as it does to the people from other backgrounds wanting to leave Anabaptist churches. I think it's pretty universal. I'm trying to give principles that are pretty universally applicable. I think my main burden is that those with high ideals and visions for what church ought to be should not abandon a church that exists in the flesh that's right around them to look for a church that only exists in their imagination. Where God has given you a community, be slow to leave it in favor of your ideals. And this is true for evangelicals, Protestants, Mennonites, Amish, Brethren, Pentecostals, Hutterites, Catholics, and all other Orthodox Christians. Of course, there may be good reasons for you to change your church. If your church is pulling you away from Jesus rather than supporting focused discipleship, then you should change churches. But don't expect this to fix all your problems.
Wow. That's a really good word to leave with our audience. I just want to rephrase that, you know, don't abandon a church that exists in the flesh or in reality for one that only exists in the imagination. I think it is very easy to have those kinds of ideals. Not that ideals are always wrong, but wow. Yeah, I like that. This is a real, hopefully this is a real encouragement to our listeners. You know, if God has given you a community, be slow to leave in favor of your ideals. I think that's a good point to leave with our listeners. Jaron, do you have more on this topic you would like to add? Other things you maybe want to clarify something as we bring this episode to a close?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, thanks for coming on and sharing, and thanks for what you do with Anabaptist Perspectives. You interact quite a lot with people that respond to our podcast and have a lot of these questions. So felt very fitting to do these last two episodes on this topic. So in this episode, Jaron mentioned some episodes we did with Samantha Bender. Those are over on our main podcast channel. You can find it on YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts, on our website, et cetera. Would encourage you that you check those out, because Samantha's story is one of coming from a different church setting and joining the Anabaptists, and both the benefits of that, but also some of the challenges, the cultural hurdles, the, you know, different things that had to learn and process through through that. And I think it's well worth your time to go check those out. And of course, if you're hearing this, you're part of our partners program. So we do really appreciate your support of what we do here at Anabaptist Perspectives. We love to hear from our listeners. So if you have questions or a topic you'd like to have us cover on this podcast, feel free to send us an email or contact us some other way. We'd be happy to cover that in a future episode. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.